listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
The Atlanta Falcons announced earlier today that both head coach Dan Quinn and general manager Thomas Dimitroff will be back for another season in Atlanta. Things started off poorly. Black Monday right around the corner, but Atlanta has made their decision. No changes at the head coach or general manager positions.
And I guess there's two ways to think about this. One is, isn't it great that an owner was open-minded enough to be probably in a mindset to fire this guy and this group and then see, look, they played well. You redeemed yourselves, guys. Because let's not forget, if Quinn had a Super Bowl ring, I don't think this would be a real question, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
I mean, not that, you know, Billick eventually got let go, but you get a good bit of cushion when you get that ring. And Fez, thinking back to that Super Bowl, at Atlanta's high point, they were what percentage?
98.8%.
That's pretty high. I mean, man, now here's the funny thing. Quinn, the odds of him ever winning a Super Bowl, far less than 50%.
Yep.
I mean, it's a very complicated probability problem because how many years is he going to coach? What's the odds each year? But Fez, I think at best you could say, based on his history, the odds with Matt Ryan hitting his senior years as an NFL quarterback, I think less than 5% a year, right? 20-1 on average?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Seems like you wanted to go higher than that.
No, well, they're playing so well, but no, I don't want to go higher.
Well, their chance this year is zero,
yes.
Right? So, I mean, it's tough, right? Plus, even if they got there, wouldn't he have the biggest mountain to overcome? That 2 weeks of just talking about that game?
Yep.
That's a real negative. So now, and you know, is he going to coach another 20 years? No.
Probably not.
Probably.
Are you kidding me? I'll bet you right now.
So, yeah, really. So to me, this is one of those great for him. I'm not sure it's so great for Atlanta because what we know is this. Atlanta, if you were to stack rank the teams before the season, they would have been what, Fez? Maybe 10, 11, 12 when it came to win total?
Exactly right. They're supposed to win just under 9 games for the year.
So way above, significantly many slots above average. The fact they started so poorly, that's an indictment.
Yep.
The fact they played so well now, okay. But you add it up, it's been a big disappointing season. So the question is, what did they see now that made them think this is what's more repeatable? Because if you just blend the whole season, I don't think he gets retained. It's the trend line. And that's an interesting point. We've talked about it from the other direction, which is if you start the season really hot, like the 49ers, then you start playing not so well, like their defense especially.
Yep.
People in their minds say, yeah, but that truth I saw earlier is the truth. It's like, okay, but why is that any more the truth than today? But that's human nature, the first thing you see. In this case, the first thing we saw was bad from Atlanta. Now we're seeing good, and we're saying, well, this is what really is true. At least that's what the owner of the Falcons is saying. The question is, which one is it? Chances are it's a blend. Whenever you have small sample, when Brad was getting ready for his free throw championships, Pee-wee in the state of Ohio, if he ended up missing 3 in a row, now that happened sometimes, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely, though.
Very rarely.
you would think, is that, would you think that's the new truth?
No.
Or would you think, no, I've made almost 90% based on your assessment of these over the years, and I believe the 90%er. So in general, when you only have a small sample, you try to get as many numbers as possible to increase the sample size. Well, I think if anything, the Falcons have underperformed their stats as much as any team in the last 5 years. Fez, think about it. There was 2 years there, YPP, net yards per play. They were right at the top. They were not near the Falcons at the top with record. But lo and behold, the stats were really good. When a team underperforms their stats a lot, that's usually coaching.
Yeah, could not score in the red zone. Remember, how come Julio Jones has no touchdowns? All the fantasy owners are panicking because they couldn't score in the red zone.
Last point. What was the change? The time that you can trust the smaller sample is if there's a fundamental change and then the sample, the results change. So, for example, if Brad would have said, you know, I'm going to quit trying to be like Larry Bird. I'm going to do something a little different with my elbow. And from there, his free throws went up, up, up. You'd think that's the new truth, even if the sample size isn't as big. Fez, what happened to Atlanta that seems to be the turnaround here?
On their bye week, Coach Quinn said, you know what? I've been calling the defensive plays. This is not working at all. I'm going to go ahead and cede this to my assistant coaches. I'll let them call the plays. What have we got to lose? And as it turns out, Atlanta's defense got much, much better after the bye week.
Okay, so what we said is that Quinn said, you know something, coming into this season, my job's on the line. I better take more personal responsibility. And then him abdicating, him saying, no, actually, you guys take it. And then the team doing a lot better has led the owner to rehire the coach because he coached less. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
Does it sound right?
It does not.
That's interesting. If the change was brought about by this, and it seems like by all accounts it was, the coach coaching less, I'm not sure that should be the reason you hire the coach to coach more.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So real quick, Dallas must win. Pittsburgh must win. You could kind of make the case the Raiders, but they got about a 10% chance. Net, is that what the number is now?
Yep.
So if they win, why don't you look if they win, see what the chance? Can you look at that if then? We'll see. Raiders, but mentally they're going to be there. Now, here's the thing. You're in a must win. The game is played concurrently. The game that you're affected by. You don't control your own destiny. You look up at the scoreboard. Ooh, a team we want to lose is up 21. Emotionally, right?
Especially at halftime, right?
I think whenever, right? Mm. Why would it be halftime? Because they can get the score. The teletype is coming in. I think they got the score, right? If anything, I think if something exciting happens on the field, you look up and it feels like it's futile, like it's irrelevant. Mm. There's going to be a real depressing air out of the balloon kind of thing, I think. I also think that, let's say this. I don't think we can debate how much the air is let out of the balloon. I think it's certainly let out when the team is in the playoffs. So, for example, let's say the Houston situation was concurrent. It wasn't Kansas City before. It was happening at the same time. If Kansas City gets up 21, Houston's going to say, in that hypothetical that doesn't exist, well, forget this. Now, if you're in a must win, maybe you just keep fighting through and hope for, you know. So I think that deflation is something that happens more when you're playing next week, no matter what. Thus, the stakes aren't quite as high. You've got a little something to play for. When it looks like that's not going to happen, you start mindset, get into next week.
Yep. You
guys agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. Give me one situation where there's another if-then that you think is interesting, whereas this game really affects the motivation of another game. Does anything jump out?
You know, it doesn't. It's just that Kansas City is the only clear-cut situation.
Okay, and if you actually look, there are some other situations. You know, so what we'll do is, in the best bet block, I've got a couple less obvious ones we can talk about here before the end of the hour. Last thing here is if you believe a team either would benefit from a potential letdown by the opponent in this case, or they would be hurt by it, the team you're thinking of betting, like if the team you're betting needs something else to happen concurrently, bet first half. I mean, let's be clear. If you like the team that could be disappointed, bet them early, because the chance of them getting disappointed before halftime, I think when you said, well, what about halftime? I think you're right in that as the game progresses, there's a better and better chance of being disappointed. I don't think it's the physical act of sitting there at halftime that will drive it, but rather how far into the game is the other game, and the way that would affect you if the result goes a certain way. In fact, the extreme case of that, if the game is beforehand, you're fully affected, right? Well, as the game progresses, there's a chance, let's give another example, the Patriots, right? So Kansas City can win the two seed, correct?
If the Patriots lose.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, and the Patriots play what time?
They play at the same time, 1 o'clock, like KC does.
So this is an exact case. If the Patriots, who are favored by 16, if the Patriots get up 21-0, now at that point, though, Kansas City has motivation still between 3 and 4.
Right.
But it would really decrease, wouldn't it? Because again, we've just kind of said 3 and 4 is about the same. If somehow the Pats are down 7, doesn't Kansas City perk up a ton?
Absolutely.
So, Jonas, to me, this is one of my favorite times of the year because it really is complex. And the smarter you are as a bettor, as a handicapper, the more you love complexity because you think you can price it better than anyone else. Last thoughts.
And it feels like if all these games are on at the same time, if you're monitoring one game closely enough, isn't there where maybe you could take advantage of in-game betting in another spot based on what's happening in a previous game or a game elsewhere?
Very savvy point. It's almost like Live Bet Jesus is here.
It almost is.
It is the idea that, yeah, you can think of these if-thens beforehand and then do either correlated parlays or wait for certain results like in the Kansas City game and be ready to fire as quick as you can. But Fez, in game, you see that thing, Pats are up 10. 15, like entering the fourth. Lo and behold, boom, touchdown Pats. They ain't losing. All of a sudden, Kansas City gets a little deflated, especially if they're up and they don't care about margin. There's no way to tell them exactly what to think, the audience. But if you're an in-game batter, there's real opportunities here if you're really following what's happening.
Yeah, like the Steelers see the Titans are up by 24, and all of a sudden the Steelers are like, oh, we just got eliminated from the playoffs. How hard are they really going to play in the fourth quarter?
So that's another example of a contingency happening during the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, what are some other obvious contingencies to pay attention to?
Oh, that sounds smart, this guy. Obvious contingencies. All right. Dallas, Philadelphia. Imagine the game happens at the same time. Dallas result only matters if Philly loses. If Philly is losing big time, Dallas perks up. But even more of a marginal change, I think, is if Philly's winning big, at any point they take a big lead, Dallas energy goes down. In-game betting, I think it's important to I think that's where the real opportunity is. I also don't think that the Dallas line is completely what the line should be, but rather to some degree it's pricing in a small chance that Dallas gets demotivated during the game, which is a segue to my best bet. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Another obvious example is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's playing Baltimore. Now, what happens? Tennessee controls their destiny. Tennessee, they're playing concurrently at the same time. Tennessee gets up big. Pittsburgh gets demotivated. That's one of the reasons, and just one, my best bet of the week, Baltimore, the best team in the NFL, +2. Now, I totally understand. Wait a minute, RJ. Who is this that's talking? I don't even know. It's like some crazed batter. But don't you know Lamar Jackson isn't playing? It's like, yes, I do know that, sir, if that is if that's correct. But here's what I'll say. I believe that Harbaugh and the whole Harbaugh family likes to win, maybe in a way that's unhealthy. I like to win. I'm kind of demented about it. I think they're more demented. We see that with the way that Jim, he runs it up, let's say, a ton against lesser opponents. Would
yep,
you agree,
absolutely
Brett?
Absolutely does.
And John Harbaugh, I think the analogy is preseason.
Yeah.
What are the stakes in preseason? Not obvious, but what ends up happening is in the preseason, John Harbaugh tries really, really hard.
13-0
hard. So the Harbaughs in general,
he smells.
They're just they're a different breed. Now you're playing against Pittsburgh, who's your rival, and you can knock them out of the playoffs, and Baltimore doesn't play next week. So if anything, keeping it, and I get it, some people aren't playing, but Fez, the line's been adjusted like 17 points?
17 and a half.
Think about that. Lamar's worth about 8. 17 and a half is too much what this line would be versus what it is. We got Baltimore, who's going to be motivated. We got Pittsburgh that might be demotivated by the Tennessee game. I love them. No short things. I love this game, though. Baltimore plus the points.
Brad Powers, who has been on fire with his underdog money line bull bets, best bet time.
3-0 on those right here on Straight Out of Vegas for free. Up 5.7 units, Brad Powers.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Two games left in your five-team money line, not parlay, but money line extravaganza. Which of the two do you like best?
Iowa State on tomorrow, plus 150 against Notre Dame. Cyclones have the motivational edge. Notre Dame, reward for a 10-2 season, the Camping World Bowl against Iowa State. I don't think Notre Dame's super motivated here. That's why I think Iowa State has a great chance of winning this game outright.
Okay, now remember, guys, no sure things. He's 3-0 on these. You like them on the money line. I'm worried about the coaching there, but okay. What's the fifth game in the five games?
The other one is Texas over Utah. Texas plus 230.
All right, so best bet Iowa State also in the five. Texas. That's the one I like least, guys. We've bet that one, actually. Yeah. I faded Brad, so you know what to do.
Back to Brad Powers we go. The college football playoffs are here. LSU versus Oklahoma. Ohio State versus Clemson coming up tomorrow.
A lot of action for just 1 hour. So here's what we'll say. We're going to give you a quick line or two here, but our podcast will cover these games too. So this is an overtime. You'll get it exclusively at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. Brad, quick ones.
Yeah, my favorite side or total of the two semifinals tomorrow. I'm going to go under 76 LSU-Oklahoma. Fade against Barney at the bar. He's going to want to bet the over. Are you kidding me? I got the Heisman Trophy winner against Oklahoma, who's got a bad defense and they got some suspensions. I'm going to bet the over. I'm going to fade that thought process. And also, adding to that, LSU's trend line on defense way up since they got healthy. Best pass rusher the last couple games healthy. Best safety now healthy the last couple of games.
So your pick is?
Under 76, LSU-Oklahoma.
And what do you think Barney's got?
Barney's got the over.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.